Tonight in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This morning we spoke on the subject of forgiveness. Tonight we speak on the subject of assurance. Forgiveness and assurance are two great blessings and gifts that God gives. We we're finalizing this Christmas season, this Christmas time of the year, yesterday being Christmas Day. And it's a time of giving. It's a time of giving. And all of us have been recipients of gifts, you know, this Christmas. Family, the church, and again, I want to thank this church, of course, for your kind gratitude and all that you've done for our family with the gifts that you've given. But anyway, we think of giving. We think of giving. Now, when it comes to gifts, and I will reemphasize what I said this morning, what greater gift than to know that we're forgiven, to have our sins forgiven, and then to have the assurance that our sins are forgiven? Just two basic, it sound like simple truths, but yet it's such a traumatic, such a powerful thing to have a salvation where you know that your sins are forgiven and you have the assurance based on Scripture. And I want to get back to this tonight. We're going to be in the same book we were in this morning, but tonight it's going to be 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Verse 13. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." I want you to notice that the matter of knowing that we have eternal life, the standard for security in the area of assurance, the area of salvation assurance, is that which we have in Scripture. Because he starts out by saying, "I've written these things unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life." So again, notice the weight that's placed upon that which is written. Going back to the Bible, going back to the Scriptures. We're fed by the Scriptures. We are given life through the Scriptures. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we're born again through the Scriptures. Then we're assured through the Scriptures. So, and I want to talk about that, but let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks this evening for this service that we're able to be a part of tonight, and for the music that's touched and warmed our hearts this evening. We give you praise, Lord, for giving us all a wonderful Christmas time to celebrate the coming of thy Son to this earth, the virgin birth. And Lord, it's been a blessing to be with families and Lord, to have church services. And now Lord, tonight, just help us to understand what the Bible says about this thing of assurance. And Lord, may we leave here this evening more determined than ever and more even assured than ever that God meant exactly what he said. When he said that he would save us, when we trusted him, he did save us. And we have the record of it, the assurance of it, written in the Scriptures itself. So, Father, bless now tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe this, and I'll start out by making this statement, but I believe that there is lurking within even the greatest saints of God a proneness to unbelief from time to time. I don't care how long we've been saved, how long we have served the Lord. There is a proneness at certain points in our lives to maybe question, to maybe doubt, to maybe be a little bit confused, or rather to momentarily at least lose our sense of assurance, if I can put it like that. Some of the greatest of saints have had times in their lives to where they have doubted their salvation. Now, occasionally you'll meet someone that'll tell you, "From the time that God saved me, I've never had any doubts." And if that's true of you tonight, I simply would say, praise the Lord. But many times, people do have times of doubt. There is a proneness to unbelief. Now, in the Bible, when you especially read the record of God's ancient people, Israel, and even you come to the New Testament, you look at the disciples of Christ, and it's kind of startling to know that the very disciples of Jesus Christ, some of them, in fact, most of them, weren't really saved until after the resurrection. I mean, in other words, during the very active period of Christ's life, as far as doing the miracles and all of that, many of them still had not locked in totally as far as truly accepting the significance of Christ, His work, and so forth. In other words, some of them were not saved until later, after His resurrection. And that's kind of startling, isn't it? But maybe that'll help us to understand tonight how it can be that a Christian can, from time to time, have doubts, be a little confused in the issue. There's a proneness of unbelief. And I think sometimes it stems from the influence of the world, it stems from the influence of the flesh, and it stems from the influence of the devil. Those three areas. And sometimes doubts arise for other various reasons. Sometimes it may be health related. Sometimes it's an emotional problem. Sometimes it could be a lack of discipline in the scripture. Sometimes sin just simply gets into a person's life. And sometimes false teaching, which obviously is not the situation here, because we believe that our church is Bible believing and we're anchored to the truth. And so the issue of salvation and security, you've been taught that in this church here from day one. So, you know, it's not the matter of false teaching, but people do sometimes doubt the reason or doubt their security. And I want us to look at this assurance thing tonight. Now, let me illustrate it like this. We can be out in a boat, and it might be rough weather. We can drop the anchor, and the anchor can hold. The anchor is lodged correctly on the bottom of the lake or river, whatever it might be, maybe on a rock or whatever. So it's not a question of whether the anchor is holding, but sometimes let's say there's choppy water, there's wind blowing, or maybe a little stormy, sometimes it might seem like the boat might shift, it may move about, even though the anchor is secure, and sometimes a person might think, why, the anchor must have slipped the way the boat is moving. And I think that kind of illustrates what I'm trying. You see, if we could see beneath the surface of the water, the place where the anchor is secured, then we would know that regardless of the turbulent sea, the anchor still holds. Sometimes God's people, they lose their sense of security. They think the anchor has slipped, or they think that they have strayed outside of the realm of truly being saved. And then when we read the Bible, we know that our anchor holds within the veil. We know the anchor is secure. The truth is secured, regardless of how we feel. So sometimes the problem is our feelings get in the way of the truth of what the Bible actually says. The conditions in a changing world, changing health, changing age, changing relationships with people sometimes alter, or rather cause some people to get confused, and it affects their spiritual life. That can happen. Sickness, physical conditions, emotional problems, and a host of other things sometimes can cause people to doubt if they put all of the emphasis upon themselves, upon their emotions, upon these things. But we can back off, though. We look at the Bible. We read this. We don't have to back off. There it is right there. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. So the truth still holds. The anchor is still secure. We're still safe in Christ. And that's a blessing. Now, let me throw this out for what it's worth tonight. The book of 1 John has been called the Epistle of Certainty. The Epistle of Certainty. In fact, the word know, or one of its forms, is found 39 times in this epistle. Know. When I was in Bible college, the professor must have thought that that word know was pretty important, because I took this, I took a couple of years of Greek while I was in school there, and we had to take that word know. And I know this isn't going to impress anybody, but I'm just going to use it as an illustration. The word for know in the Greek is gnosko. Aren't you impressed? Gnosko. There's 200 and some forms of the ways of conjugating that verb in Greek, to know. And we had to nail it. If we didn't pass the test, the final terminal exam, hitting it right, the 200 some forms, then we flunked the course and had to start over. But I said all that simply to say this: the word know, it is a precious word. It is a powerful word. And it is a word that speaks of what God's people can know. In other words, we can know that we're saved. The verse again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. So we go back to the point. Did we accept Christ as our Savior? Did we trust Him? Did we believe the Word in terms of what He said? Did we say yes to Him? If we trusted Him as our Savior, then the anchor still holds as far as our security. Whether, and this is going to sound a little bit strange, the anchor is going to hold as far as our justification, whether we get to the place, whether we believe it or not. Does it make sense that there may be people that may wind up in heaven that are going to be surprised they're there? Does that make any sense? I'll explain it like this. The Bible simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay? The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Every one of us, this Christmas, we were gifted. We received gifts. Someone handed us the gift. We thanked them for it. We took it. And then we had our group hug as a family. You know, we appreciated all that people did. But how did that gift wind up in our possession? It was offered to us, and we received it. That's simple. We didn't have to pay anything for it. We received it. Our part, the part of the giver, was to give it. But the part of the receiver is to simply accept it. Now, God puts salvation down in that simple term. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now, my question tonight is this then. When God gave us eternal life, when He saved us, is there anywhere in the Bible you can find that once He gave it to us, He'll take it away? Can sickness cause us to lose our salvation? Can mental issues cause us to lose our salvation? Of course, this is what you call, this is a, trying to think of the right word here, rhetoric. Right, that's a rhetorical question for you. We know the answer. So when God gives us salvation, when we've trusted His Son, we are secure whether at some point in time, believe it or not, we're still justified. And there are people tonight that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, but they've wound up getting involved in a church that believes you can lose your salvation, that puts the emphasis upon human works. And there are some doctrines out there that believe that if you don't do proper works, you can lose your salvation. And invariably what they do, though, they wrest the Scriptures, they change them around. They take that Hebrews chapter 6 passage, for example, Hebrews chapter 6. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift if they should fall away to renew them unto repentance. Or they take a verse like, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. They take it out of context. That verse is talking about, the context of that verse is tribulational, tribulation period. Those that endure to the end, that's going to prove, I'm talking about the tribulation saints, that's going to prove that they were converted, they were saved to start with. So they endure. And they're going to go into the millennium, but that's another sermon for a different time. But I'm telling you though, people that teach you can lose your salvation invariably take Scriptures out of context. But I'm saying tonight, if those people in those churches that had that false doctrine, if they still accepted Christ as their Savior, they're saved. They may not go anywhere with their spiritual life. They may not grow at all. They may be stunted, but they're going to go to heaven because the Bible says they will. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. On and on we could go. I could spend the rest of the service tonight just quoting Scriptures proving the case for security. The assurance now. There is a personal relationship that is established. Chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. But I emphasize the first part of that verse. Whoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. In other words, they're born again. There is a personal relationship that is established. Born again, new birth, a child of God. Spiritual relationship. Sons and daughters of God. So the personal relationship argues for the security. And we are to be assured of that. We have a body. We can think. We can move. We can see. We can hear. We can taste. We can touch. We can smell. Therefore we know we're alive, right? And where I'm going with this, if someone came up to us tonight and they'd say, now, when were you born? I'm talking about physics. Somebody comes up and says, when were you born? You look at that person and you say, I think I was born. And then you throw out a date. Or I hope I was born. Or maybe I was born. But I'm not really sure I have been born. Then they would walk away and they'll say, I've got to find someone who's got some sense around here. I can't handle that. Now, okay, that's a ridiculous illustration. But you see, when it comes to spiritual birth, we are born again. We are born the second time. We have every right to know that we know that we know that we're saved. We have every right. Now, why would God save a person and confuse them the rest of their life? I mean, why would he leave us hanging? He wouldn't leave us hanging. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. That which is born of the whole John 3 passage. The point is, you must be born again. And being born again, you are literally a new birth. Spiritual new birth in God's kingdom. And that is a blessing. Then, and I'm showing you from John 5, 1 John 5, we have a profound rearrangement. Look at verses 2 through verse 5. Verses 2 through verse 5. He said, by this we know. There's that word know keeps popping up. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I'm in a world of hurt right now. I dropped my sermon outline. Y'all excuse me. I'm about as bad as that guy that stuck his sermon outline in a hole in the back of the wall behind the pulpit, or behind where he's sitting. He said, I got a pretty decent sermon here if I can get it out of that knot hole. But there's a profound rearrangement. Okay, notice this real quick. Notice what we're looking at here. Verse number 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So our life, our love, our liberty proves our security. Loving the Lord, by the way, is an effect that proves existence of a cause. Do you know tonight, we don't love the Lord by accident. We love Him because He first loved us. So, loving the Lord is an effect that proves the existence of a cause. That's a telltale evidence. People tonight that are not born again do not really love the Lord. They can't. And it's easy to figure out why. How can you love the Lord? How can you love the Heavenly Father if you've never respected His Son in salvation by accepting Him? You can't run around and say, I love the Father if you've rejected His Son. The way into the Father's heart is through the Son, isn't it? So love itself says a whole lot. A heart that desires to obey the Word and the will of God is a converted heart. A life that bears the birthmark of salvation is a life that stands on the firm bedrock of saving grace. Then there are positive statements in Scripture that prove assurance. The passage before us. Well, what about this one? John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Here's another good verse. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My subject tonight is assurance. Where do we get our assurance? We get our assurance from what God says. The truth of Scripture. I mean, you know what verily means? Verily means truly, right? Now, when the Holy Spirit throws in a double verily, that's a double truly. We have enough security in one verily, but He doubles up on it. Verily, verily. What about John 5, 25? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. That's another verily, verily, pertaining to the resurrection. So, tonight, the personal security and assurance is based upon, thus saith the Lord. This may sound a little elementary this evening because, I mean, my goodness, you folks have heard this many times, haven't you? But don't you think, though, that some things as precious as this should be repeated? I mean, it's just good to be reminded of how on Christ the solid rock we stand. I mean, that's good to go into a new year with, isn't it? Solid rock. There is a positional security in Christ. Therefore, what about this? There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. So, hey, Christian, you and I tonight are in good shape. The world can't change our security. Our emotions cannot change our critical security. What we think now cannot change our security. People that turn against us cannot take away our security. We are secure tonight in Christ. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I've often thought about the author of that song. The first face that she'll see will be the face of her Savior. And she even sung about that too. But you know, somebody said that Fanny Crosby saw more as a blind woman than most people see with 20/20 vision with her eyes. That shows that God's real, doesn't it? That shows that people can be saved and know that they're saved regardless of a mixed up, confused world that we're living in. Again, now that verse, don't get away from it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So condemnation cannot reach us. It cannot. You know, I love those two words, in Him, in Christ, in Him. We this evening are in Christ. You know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. In Christ, that's where we are. Our residence is in Christ. Isn't it wonderful tonight to be in church? It's far more wonderful to be in Christ. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, there's so many good illustrations of that. Noah and his family were in the ark, weren't they? And the ark speaks of Christ. So we can read the account of Genesis of the ark of the flood. We can say tonight, in Him, we are in Christ, as Noah and his family were in the ark and saved from the wrath. We're in Him tonight, as the children of Israel were in the blood-sprinkled houses on the night of the Passover. We're in Christ tonight as though as the unintentional manslayer fled to the city of refuge and was in that city of refuge safe from the avenger. And that's another sermon at a different time. In the Old Testament, if someone accidentally killed someone else, they could flee to a city of refuge. And incidentally, those cities of refuge were arranged at a place that would be easy accessible to all of those that had to flee. Someone, like I say, that unintentionally killed someone, they could get inside that the city of refuge and the avenger couldn't get at them. That's us tonight. We fled for refuge. We're in the city of refuge in Christ tonight. We're in Him. As Rahab was in the house when the scarlet symbol of protection was put out and she was not judged with Jericho. We're in Him. We're in Him. We have passed the judgment that you and I deserve tonight fell upon Him. And we are in Him tonight. You know, security is written all over the Bible. Security is seen in types. Security is seen in statements. Security is seen in scriptures. Security is seen in questions. Do you know the security of the believer is seen in questions in the Bible? Here's one. Who is he that condemneth? Try that on. That's another one of those rhetorical questions. Who is he that condemneth? Then let's think how the verse continues. That's Romans 8:34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who is he that condemneth? The answer is emphatically no one. When you're in Christ, the answer is no one. The devil, with all of his hordes of fallen angels, cannot drag a soul that's redeemed down to hell. We are in Christ tonight. We not only, according to the Bible, we are forgiven, I preached on this morning, but we also are assured. I mean, that's a double blessing. You know, I would be happy tonight, since I've come this far from the point of being saved and I've studied a little bit down through the years and served God a number of years, I would be happy tonight just knowing the basic scriptures and believing them enough to get saved. I would be happy tonight to know that I was forgiven. That's a big boost right there. But to know that I'm forgiven and then to be assured of it, why, you can't beat that. You know, that's the equivalent right there of getting a, let me try to think this thing through here. That's the equivalent of going over to Golden Corral, which is where I went today, and going up, and y'all know what my eating pattern is sometime now, don't you? I went to Golden Corral, I went up and I got me some of that good bread pudding that they make. Are you hungry yet? I got some of that bread pudding, and that bread pudding itself is mighty good. But if you look around that little bar right there where all the ice creams and stuff happens to be, you'll find that there's some special cream. What's that called, Cheryl Holt? A little cream you put on that? No, it's different. It's better than that stuff. It's a yellowish. You know, Stephanie, what it is? You put it on, huh? Now what it is, okay, it's made out of vanilla, it's got sugar in it, it's real creamy type, huh? Meringue, I don't know about, but I just know this, you put that stuff on that bread pudding, and my goodness is it good, Shayla. And then also too, you had bread pudding, didn't you? This guy right here ate with us. No, the missionary did, that's right. Then they got that soft serve ice cream. Now, that's another story. That soft serve ice cream. Take that bread pudding and let some of that soft serve ice cream come down and let it make a few swirls, you know. You've got yourself, you've got a double treat. In other words, I'm happy just to have the bread pudding on its own merit. But boy, when you put that ice cream, that other stuff on it, why, that's like forgiveness and assurance. That's a double blessing. And so, you see, I'm saying tonight in closing, that's what we have to take with us into a brand new year. We have the best gift of all. We're saved. We're forgiven. We have every reason to be assured. And all I can say is God's been pretty good to us. We have really been blessed, haven't we? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. And thank you for these double blessings of assurance and of forgiveness and assurance. Now, Lord, this evening, bless the invitation. If someone needs to come and, Lord, just do business with you here at this altar. If there's someone tonight that's watching that's never been forgiven of their sins, never had forgiveness, never been saved, dear Heavenly Father, help them tonight to see their need of the Savior and come to Him. Then, Father, if there's a Christian maybe that's struggling with security, that's just not reading far enough, that's not taking at face value what the Word of God says, that for some reason they have trouble with that verse, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life." Lord, there are some people that read that verse and for whatever reason, they see things that the verse doesn't even teach. But why won't people just accept the Bible at face value and go on rejoicing? Lord, tonight, Speak to hearts and bless, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.